as we look at this passage in James, let's ask our Lord for help. Father, we ask that you work in and through us, that you will enlighten us to this passage, what it's got to say, so that we might know you better and love you more. Jesus' name. Amen. Relationships, whether friendships or more than that, depend on knowing people. Knowing who they are, spending time with them. Let's be honest, at times, human relationships can be awkward. There are times when there are stresses, when there are problems. And this can be especially true when people are in a relationship looking at being intimate for the rest of their lives. It's reflected in modern songs people sing and listen to. Many of Taylor Swift's best songs are about broken relationships and how poisonous the boyfriend was, or perhaps she's saying they still are. One entitled Dear John speaks about a relationship with John Mayer, one of the few boyfriends to respond in public to the song, saying it was a low, and also composing Paper Doll about Taylor Swift. I would point out that there was a significant age difference at the time. He was 32, she was 19, and she was warned about him. And this is probably addressed in a later song, Would've, Could've, Should've, explaining her regrets over the relationship and getting into it. But often all of us have such regrets. Would've, could've, should've are things that at times we can all say about things we've done in friendships or relationships. But there's another side to relationships, which is when they work. They're great. We love them and want to be with the person all the time. And Taylor Swift also reflects that in her songs. Speaking of one of her relationships that's now failed, in the good times of it, in a song called False God, saying, "Now heaven's a thing, I go there when you touch me, honey. Hell is when I fight with you, but we can patch it up good. Make confessions, and we're begging for forgiveness." Now, while it's easy as Christians for us to touch on the theological issues with this, making a relationship with another person an idol, and the title of this suggests it, a false god, making being touched by the person everything, and fights the worst times. What happens if we think about this in terms of our relationship with God? Because heaven's real. It's something to some extent we experience now. When we know God's presence and love, we experience it in part, but we'll experience it in full in eternity. But also, heaven's real, but hell is real, and we experience, and those who go there will experience it from broken relationship with God. Life's supposed to be centered around relationship with God. And having spoken of the perseverance of God's people, of how God's people should persevere in the hard times, as Glenn has done so faithfully here, James now directly speaks of relationship with God and how we should live out of it. Verse 13, he says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. James has just been talking of people persevering in suffering, not something that's easy. You have to struggle through it like Job did, speaking to and developing his relationship with God. And that is what James tells those who are in trouble to do, who are suffering to do. Let us be clear what prayer is. It's expressing ourselves to God and getting to know him. So often we can think of people as what we can get out of them, like a business deal, a transaction. But that's not real relationship. It's not a mutual friendship where we want the best for the other, even when that will cost us. A real relationship means love, and that therefore we're prepared to do the best for them, even when it costs. It's a relationship of trust, where we care about and learn what the other thinks. And that means learning about them, spending time with them. And that's precisely what James tells us to do when we're in trouble, to spend time with God, to develop relationship with him. Prayer's not just requesting things from God. If you've got someone who only comes to you and may come to you every single minute requesting particular things from you rather than getting to know you, I don't think it's a very attractive relationship. And I would also emphasize that prayer's not primarily about receiving guidance from God. We can get caught with that. And I knew someone in Ireland who'd actually say he'd wait until God commanded him to put his socks on in the morning. And if he wasn't told, he wouldn't put on both socks. I know that's extreme, but our relationship with God shouldn't be primarily about those things, although we should be requesting, we should be seeking guidance, and we certainly should be bringing our lives before him and asking him for our needs. And we should be seeking his will and what he wants for us. Yet, rarely when I've had long-term issues have I got answers in a moment. Because ultimately, when I suffer, God is maturing me, wanting me to depend on him. Set aside my own goals and pride to prioritize more and more his kingdom. So much of prayer should be spending time in relationship with God, learning who he is, living out our situations in relationship with him, representing him as his people. Yes, God will look after us in trouble, but it's often in these times that we grow and mature. As we seek him more, try to get him to know him better. That's the challenge when we're in trouble. To get to know God, to grow in him, while still representing him in this world. Knowing that he'll protect us and see us through the trouble we face. And that's what prayer's about. It's not a question of how well we do it or how good we sound. It's not like, for instance, kicking a football, and it's all about technique, how we do it. prayer is about developing relationship with God, knowing his peace, even amidst trouble that we're facing, and therefore being able to learn more of his character or his mercy and love. That's what we should do when we're in trouble. Seek God and learn what he has to teach us, while we wait for him to address our situation. Now, this is not the only side of relationship. Some people seek God when they're in trouble, but forget about or ignore him when things go well. They, when they're desperate, seek their God to help them, but then they just grasp what they're given and leave God out of their lives. Forget the one who brings them the good things. It's a constant theme during the nation of Israel's history, as we read in the Old Testament, how it forgets their God when things go well, forgets how all that they've been given to them by their God is from God. Forget the character of God, who their God is. Yet, it's not just Israel. It can also be very true of us, that we may be okay at desperately seeking God when we're in trouble, but when we have good times, we forget or ignore him, rather than give thanks, praise and gratitude, the one from whom all good things come. And the challenge of that, of James, is that our lives should be lived in relationship with that God, both in praise and prayer, and out of that comes an expectation for God to act. Verse 14, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. There's an expectation that God will act for his people. But here there's an emphasis on being part of the gathering of God's people. It's not simply pray on your own, but ask the church, represented by the elders, to pray. It shows that we're supposed to be a part of the people of God, that a genuine faith is not supposed to be lived alone. I found here that praying for people who are sick has rarely been asked of me, particularly to come round. There are some occasions, and I have seen people healed. In Hong Kong, I remember praying with others for people and them being healed. Here, when we were asked to pray when a church member had a stroke and was near death, we saw him recover, despite doctors saying at the time that they could, that he was going to die, and basically trying to keep him alive for his granddaughters to come. Healing happens in the people of God. Now, there are a couple of elements here. Firstly, the anointing with oil. Now, it's true that kings were anointed with oil, and that Mary anointed Jesus before his death. So it is a mark of God on a person's life. But also at the time, applying olive oil was a medicinal treatment for rashes and skin diseases. The Christians were not forsaking the medicine of the times, but using it just as we go to doctors today, and receiving treatment. This is not an either-or, but expecting God to work, whether through the medicine of the times or miraculously, is not for us at times to dictate, because God does work through doctors, through nurses, through medicine. Sometimes the oil today is helpful as it focuses us, means we can see ourselves as fulfilling biblical instruction. But it's not necessary to fulfill the underlying instructions to some of the elders and getting prayer with an expectation that God will act. And that's a prayer offered out of faith, out of relationship with God, by his people. As I said previously, it's not an individual prayer, but people coming together to ask God for his mercy. The elders are the representatives of the church, the ones who should represent who God is to others. Do such prayers always produce the results we want? Well, there are many times people have not been physically healed, who have been prayed for. Yet there are others when the person is fully healed. But even in the times when the person is not physically healed, if the prayer is coming out of a joining together in faith, it will bring spiritual healing. The promise is God will raise them up. And while sometimes this is immediate, when this does happen, it points towards the last days, then all who believe will be raised to life with Jesus. Let's be clear. Prayer does not mean we're never physically sick. Paul was sick when he went to Galatia. He needed people to look after him then. If Paul can get sick and need people to look after him, so can we. But what prayer does mean is we're living in relationship with God out of the forgiveness of sins that Jesus provides. And it's here that James goes in verse 15. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. What's key in prayer is our relationship with God, the hope that this brings, that when there are issues, these are healed, so that we know God with us. We know the peace with God that Jesus brings, the peace that's beyond understanding. In this, we may well find physical healing happening as well. But there are many Christians who cope with physical ailments and testify of God working in them. Very famously, Johnny Erickson Tada, who became a quadriplegic in a diving accident, but eventually saw there were more important things in life. Hearing of another diving accident for a 17-year-old, he says, "Like Tommy, I was once the 17-year-old who wretched at the thought of living life without a working body. I hated my paralysis so much, I would drive my power wheelchair into walls, repeatedly banging them until they cracked. Early on, I found dark companions who helped me numb my depression with scotch and cola. I just wanted to disappear. I wanted to die." What a difference time makes. As well as prayer, heaven-minded friends, and deep study of God's word, all combined, I began to see there are more important things in life than walking and having use of your hands. It sounds incredible, but I really would rather be in this wheelchair, knowing Jesus as I do, than be on my feet without him. But whenever I try to explain it, I hardly know where to begin. For Johnny, it's relationship with God that's important, and out of that is the emphasis on confession of sins to each other. As Christians, we don't need a confessional to own our sins. Each one can pray for the other. What we do need to know, together, is relationship with God. That's central to our lives. If we get physical healing, but not spiritual healing, we still go our own way. It's not what we need. We're still at risk eternally of going to hell, the place where God is not, from our own choices. Having said which, prayer that does bring about spiritual healing can also bring about physical healing. I have seen physical healing in others' lives. We should expect to see this, because prayer's effective. As verse 16 says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now we heard of Elijah in the Old Testament reading. His prayers were effective. He was living in relationship with God. Things happened. Things that seemed impossible. Like God burning up the bulls with lightning. Yet Elijah was a man just like us, as is emphasized by the continuation of the story. After facing down the king, he suddenly panics when the queen puts a bounty on his head and runs. He's forgotten that his God is a God who considers such opposition as worthless, something to be crushed, who's already done this just beforehand. Yet, after restoring Elijah, God also provides him with Elisha as a friend and apprentice, so he's not alone. From Elijah, we see just how effective prayer can be. And in West Wallen, we know the awfulness of drought that brings famine in the country. Yet, that is what Elijah's prayers brought and stopped. But also, the need there to share one's faith with others around, so that we don't feel we're all alone. So we can be encouraged in our relationship with God. It's that relationship that Christ brings. And encouraging others in it is part of who we are as Christians. And that's where James finishes. Verse 19. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Jesus died that we might have relationship with God. That all the times we forget, we ignore, we reject God might be forgiven. Jesus died to take God's wrath for all the times we go our own way. He died to cover over the multitude of our sins so we might inherit his righteousness and have relationship with God. Enjoy what's important in life and share this with others, that they might be saved too, that they might be encouraged in relationship with God. Therefore, if anyone here does not live out of that relationship of God, out of knowing the mercy of Christ and having peace with God. Do seek God and find this. Confess that you need him. Receive the forgiveness of sins so you can live in relationship with him. Doing that changed my life at university. It's why I've ended up here. It will change yours. And especially given what's said here, feel free to ask someone who knows God. I'm sure Glenn would be delighted. I'd be delighted. There are others here who'd be delighted. For those who do know God and live out of it, the challenge is to expect more from him, to live out of gratitude and his presence, represent him to others, and pray, seeking to further that relationship, both alone and together, with an expectation for God to act. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God that's real, that a God that acts in our lives. And Father, we ask that you'll make yourself more and more real to us. Let us know more of your mercy, more of your love. And that we might see you, more of you acting in our lives and our church's life. Jesus' name, Amen.